Welcome back to another episode of the FFV podcast. I hope you're having a great morning, day, or evening. I am your host, FFV, and today I am bringing you another amazing guest. He is the founder of not one, not two, not three, not even four, but five different companies and products that I'm very excited to talk about and how much more he's doing in the space. Welcome the man himself at NFT Hoarder. What is up, my guy? How you doing today?
Good. GM,
brother. Before we dig into all these questions and what you're building, we get a little personal here. So I gotta ask, man, where are you from and what was it like growing up for NFT Hoarder?
No, I grew up in Philadelphia. So we won't jump into sports there because, Philly sport fans, not the best, right?
Crazy, motherfucker.
I mean, from the outside looking in, right? Yeah. Not the best. If you're from Philly, it might be the best, right? But I think growing up, my parents came from Taiwan here to the States for academics, for school. And they were adapting to the U.S. as, you know, we were growing up. My brother, I have a twin brother, and myself were growing up in a predominantly Caucasian Jewish neighborhood. And they were just my parents were very hard workers and still are today. But I think, you know, it's always interesting to navigate that. And my dad was an entrepreneur. So he has a master's in forestry, of all things. And then he went and got a double E. And he then went into computers, worked for Commodore. I'm dating myself a little bit. And then opened up a computer store. I like to think I got some of my entrepreneurial spirit from him in what he did, and then later on when I was graduating high school, he got a law degree and went into IP law, trademarks and IP. I think that's one in which, I've always had projects and side hustles. Why I'm on the side, I'm a partner in a hospitality group that my twin brother runs. But I think that's a lot to do with it, right? How I grew up, seeing our parents, really kind of, head down and doing work and, trying to provide and make their way here in a different, place.
Yeah, no, I completely understand you, man. I'm Hispanic myself, and I grew up just kind of the same way. I grew around predominantly more of the Caucasian type of area. You know what I mean? I think two other families were either Latino or African American, but that was pretty much it. You know what I mean? And it was definitely I think you could relate to this where. It was just very different for us, It's especially for the main group of people that we were around, really. And I just gotta say that, man, because I completely relate to you on this, man. And that's crazy that your dad was I went into IP, which we'll get into much, man. Hey, the apple doesn't fall from the tree, huh? So this next question, man, everyone has definitely heard it, but every single answer thus far has been completely unique. So with that being said, how did you first discover crypto and how did that lead you into discovering this wonderful world of Web3 and NFTs?
I would say probably untraditional is I didn't get into crypto than NFTs. I got into AMC stock. Which I can officially almost say that I rode to zero because I still hold some of that. I'm diamond handing and hodling that to zero.
Were you a part of all that craze when all that stuff went down?
Yes.
How was that? What was that like? Because I only saw it in like in like a Netflix documentary, dude, but I bet living it, I bet living it must have been something else.
Yeah, I mean, it definitely surreal in the highs and lows of it, right? Just, yeah. You know, just really kind of fun to experience, but also like, you know, the unrealized gains and, yeah. You know, not wanting to do that math in hindsight, I guess. but look, you know, it's you live and learn, oh, right? Yeah. You know, but that's kind of how I got in. And, you know, Wall Street Bulls launched a NFT and, you know, jumped into that, thought it was interesting. And I got into, you know, fell into the rabbit hole of NFTs and NFT flipping. So, you know, I was flipping doodles and, you know, I bought a Macy and sold that one and, you know, minted a couple different things. But as I dug a little bit further underneath that, you know, I discovered the community and what that looked like. And, you know, and obviously as you walked out of a bull market, you know, there's just not as much opportunity to flip, but, you know, I found IP. I found a lot of people wanting to do something with IP, and I think then it evolved to something else, right?
Yeah, yeah. I completely get what you're saying, man. But I want to ask, what was the difference really between kind of like the AMC kind of environment? Because inevitably you left kind of that world, not really, but you left to come to NFTs. So what was the main difference between the whole AMC kind of environment versus the NFT environment? What made you stay?
Yeah, I mean, I think that the AMC environment was much more degen and still is, right? Like when you go down under that, there's nothing. I mean, there's a community, but it's not
like tight knit like ours, huh?
Yeah, it's not tight knit, and there's less to do about like the technology and the underlying future of what it looks like, right?
Yeah.
I think it was more nostalgic, right? Because like as you grow up, you go to movies, that's where you hang out and you met your friends. There was this story about like David versus Goliath, right? With kind of like people shorting the stock and looking to bankrupt the company. So you know, there's that underlying story, but like a lot of people were in it just to make the money, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Money go up, my man, you know, number go up. But, it kind of gets me thinking too, man, because that's when I kind of got introduced into like crypto and stuff like that, was like the AMC, Robinhood kind of thing. And what really inspired me is that like a bunch of random people on the internet just came together and decided, no, this isn't going down. We're shooting this motherfucker up, and there's nothing that anybody's going to do about it. It was probably one of the most beautiful things I've ever seen. And that got me into really digging into what other people are doing and how are they even doing it? You know what I mean? So I started going into like Reddit, Gary V and stuff like that. Really, Gary V is the person that introduced me into NFTs, but AMC got me into crypto. It's a great story to hear, man. But so as someone who holds a mutant ape from the Yuga ecosystem, you're granted IP rights for your mutant. I've never seen anyone in the space go so hard at branding, licensing their IP with different products that we'll get into. I don't want to ask, what motivated you to utilize the IP rights given to you as a whole?
Yeah, I mean, I would say it's the in real life meetups. You know, I'm a partner in a hospitality group, and you know, out of Philadelphia, the NFT Philly group, really strong there, and the founders were in the or are still in the Basie community, and they wanted to throw some events, and I helped host some of those events, and you know, met a bunch of cool people, talked to them, and a lot of them, you know, obviously we're talking about IP and wanting to do something.
Yeah.
Right. And to your point, you know, there just wasn't, you know, some people are going to build their own products and brands off of it, but then there's a larger probably group of holders that they just want to use their IP on product. They just want to see something with their ape on it, right? they're not necessarily the ones that have the expertise to build something.
Yeah, no, I completely understand. I'm on that same boat, man. You know what I mean? I'm on the boat where, you know, I just want to see my ape on some cool stuff. You know what I mean? Yeah. And like, I have, me personally, I've never done anything outside the box until of recent. But, you know, someone like me wouldn't even know how to start or begin. So I'm glad that like I have someone like you here to really get inside the mind of someone that's actually doing it instead of talking about it. Because most of us, I mean, let's face it, most of us are just talking about it. You know what I mean? We haven't really, some of us have, but, you know, for the most part, like you said, not a lot of us are out there really just doing it by ourselves. And I know that what you do is super important, man, because it just elevates not only your brand, but it really elevates everybody, mostly in like the Macy community and stuff like that. But yeah, man, so as someone that is heavy utilizing their NFT IP, what challenges have you encountered while building these businesses and products, and how have you overcome them?
Yeah, no, great question. And again, appreciate and thank you for your kind words. You know, for me, I think building a brand and product, you know, really relies on many different skill sets, right? And, you know, I think I've spent 20 years kind of developing skill sets, working for Walmart, Amazon, Target, HelloFresh, and that's where, you know, that part of my life has come into kind of interception with NFTs and the community I found there, and also hospitality group with COVID. So these three different parts have kind of come together to, you know, leverage what I'm good at and some of the products that we serve every day in our hospitality group, to innovate with branding and IP. And, you know, there definitely were moments during COVID where, you know, and we did, we shut down some of our venues. And, you know, we were fortunate to pivot to bagel shops and dining, you know, from nightlife, right? So, yeah. You know, I think there's the challenge of just in real life business, right? The Web2 and real life business and how we grow and sustain that, along with running a parallel program that's, you know, CPG, consumer packaged goods, branded, innovated with NFT IP, right? And, you know, not all my partners are into NFTs or Web3. So I think one of the things was showing them the power of the community and the brand and the support that you could garner from the community and, you know, what that looked like. Right. So, you know, I think that's been amazing, and seeing how it's changed their minds and kind of exposed them to a whole channel of different things we could do and, a different customer we could serve.
Yeah, no, 1,000%, man. And it gives, and it kind of, a question pops into my head when you are talking about your partners and other people involved. How has not only them, but kind of like the market reacted to, you know, your mutant being on there? How do they act? What do they ask for? Do they like it? Do they hate it? What is the feedback you get?
Yeah, I mean, I think more than anything, it drives a conversation. Right. And I think it's mixed, right? I think some people are like, don't get it. Right.
Yeah.
Like they're like, why is there, like, what does this mutant have to do with cream cheese?
Yeah.
and I mean, they're right in that regard. But, you know, for me, when I look in my in real life branding, you know, Bagels and Co., black and white logo, clean kind of storefronts, right? Where then I look at NFTs, I look at Basie, mutants, right? It's colorful, it's art. So I think it offers a contrast offering to a different customer. And look, the product's good, So I think, you know, no one's going to not buy the cream cheese and bagel because there's a mutant on it. And I think that's where everyday items like food and giving some exposure to people that might not know anything about NFTs, it's a good kind of, you know, maybe blown out of proportion, but I think it's a good way to give exposure and eventually further adoption, right? Yeah. Because maybe at first you're like, don't get it, or, you know, that mutant's ugly.
Yeah, it's definitely an eye catcher. You know what I mean? Yeah, like when you walk by, there's not. I highly doubt there's anything out there that has that kind of packaging. And I've checked out the packaging, your labels around the products that you make, and I'm super excited that, you know, that I mean, and I guess not super excited, but I think it's a very good thing that you don't 100% focus on that it's an NFT. You know what I mean? It's on there, the mutant's on there, and then you explain what the cream cheese is or what to drink or, you know, et cetera, all those things. But I want to ask you too, man, earlier you mentioned that you helped certain companies help elevate their brand, man. So how have those skills in that kind of Web 2 world transfer over to the Web 3 world? And how has that helped you in your journey?
Yeah, no, great question. You know, I've seen how companies are built and how they can scale and things that, you know, you have to focus on in terms of governance. And you know, I've learned and subscribed to agile development, right? Is, you know, you create products and you iterate. You most times when you build a product and brand, you're just not going to knock it out of the park 100% of the time, right? You're going to go and create a increment of a product that you can put out there and get the feedback and iterate off of that to improve it and see what the results are, right? And that's where, you know, I've spent time in these companies and have seen that be successful, right? You fail fast, right? Take micro L's and you stack those to become big and bigger wins.
Yeah.
Right. And Bored Bagels was that test, right? That test in which there's a ton of micro L's and there will continue to be, but we stacked those in iterating off of that to build the product better, to ship the product, to serve the customer, and then expand that into other brands. And, you know, not to mention there's just the more technical expertise of, you know, supply chain and logistics, right? I know how to ship a product across the country and distribute it, right? And, you know, I think you can, almost anyone can find a product, print out product label and slap it on the product and post it on Twitter, right? It's much harder to develop a product, to scale it, to distribute it across the country, and to be consistent and grow that, be consistent and grow that day after day. Yeah. And, you know, I think that's the infrastructure that I'm building and I'm learning from my experience from these different companies to then scale with the different brands that I have in the, you know, more products and brands that I'm doing in R&D.
Yeah, I see it, man. And it's super cool seeing, you know, you just utilize, like I said before, man, nobody is out there utilizing their IP like yourself, man. And I just got to give my kudos to that. I want to get into something that you've already built, and that is called Bored Ape IP. What is Bored Ape IP, and what are the products or services under Bored Ape IP? Would love to get into all of them.
Yeah, so Bored IP LLC is the parent company that these brands roll up into. So Bored Bagels, Bored Snack Cookies, Bored Spice, Bored and Tipsy. We've got two or three other ones in R&D. And that's where these things roll up into that. And, you know, we launched with Bored Bagels, and you can go to boredbagels.com and, you know, purchase e-commerce and we'll ship it domestically in the US. But as we further build out product, we also thought, okay, we're not going to build a site for every single brand. How do we start to leverage economies of scale, right? One shopping destination for people to then purchase multiple different products to serve them with IP. And at the same time, we can then have the economies of scale to ship and fulfill that product within one box, right? And, you know, as we scale the different products, then it becomes more and more of a flywheel, right? Is, you know, we need to market people to the one shopping platform or, yeah, or landing page, as opposed to each individual brand's landing page. And, you know, we can also then introduce new brands and also potentially other board IP, right? And, yeah, you know, I think we were fortunate to have the opportunity during Fuck It Saturday to curate a board IP gift box, right? So in my mind, it's a little bit of the physical manifestation of what I would love to see is some of the infrastructure to showcase, you know, a bunch of the product, but allow, you know, I think the bodega is great in what's launched there. But at the end of the day, people have to be able to buy it.
Yeah. Yeah. No, 1,000%, man. I completely agree with you. And I also think that the bodega thing is pretty cool.
Yeah.
And I really got to ask, man, like, so you're building all these different products under this umbrella, right? What is your goal with all these products? Is it like just to have just a sort of all these different kind of products, or what is the main goal with this?
Yeah, I mean, the main goal is to create another vertical with great product that we already have. But, you know, when I rewind it back to COVID and you know, I think every one of us has probably neighborhood mom and pop shops that, you know, we can think of that have great product, but they will never be able to commercialize.
Yeah.
Right. And a lot of these closed during COVID, right? And when I think about my brother, you know, I'm a partner there, but my brother spends day in, day out. Like that's his life,
yeah,
right? So how do I create a new vertical in which people can take advantage of? And I spent 20 years kind of doing that for large corporations. I want to shoot my shot.
Huh? Yeah.
Yeah, I want to shoot my shot, do it for myself, do it for my brother, do it for that grandmother that has the Italian spot with like the best sauce, or you know, something that can be commercialized. So, you know, in this future state, I envision this opportunity to really kind of reach out to great product, and they might not have any idea what NFTs are. But to say, hey, let me help you commercialize your product, bring you into my ecosystem, right? And match you up with the right IP and get you distribution through e-commerce or future channels that might lead us into grocery stores or, you know, other big box players, right?
Yeah.
And connect it, right? Connect that vertical. Not only for my hospitality group, but for great neighborhood products out there.
Yeah. No, really supporting, you know, the small guys out there, and that really, just like you said, just really have great products that will never see the light of day, really, because, you know, they might be not into the internet as much or into all these other things that we're into. But yeah, man, it's a great thing that you're helping these people. It also just brings along so much adoption, slowly, slowly, but little, man. It's amazing to hear. So I hear that you know, you mentioned of like, you know, different IPs and stuff like that. I know this answer a little bit, but I want people to know. So do you choose other people to be like other ape holders or other, you know, NFT collections to be in your IPs as well?
Yeah, yeah. I mean,
how do people get chosen for that?
Yeah, it's a question I get bombarded with all the time. And it's a tougher one to answer, you know, over time as we've gotten more and more exposure. You know, at first it was pretty easy, right? It was easy in the sense that, you know, met a bunch of people in NFT Philly and really connected there and wanted to unlock it for them, right? Then we came out with a mini game, right? Instagram and TikTok Board Bagels mini game, which, you know, the QR thank you card in the box takes you to either platform. And, you know,
that was fun, dude. I played it. I remember you said it was really fucking fun, dude. Yeah. I'm not going to lie to you. So simple, but I was on there for at least an hour and a half. Just,
no, I mean, that's,
you know what I mean?
That's good to hear, right? And, you know, we gave away some of those opportunities to people that participated. Right. Mm. And same thing, you know, we did one for Bored and Tipsy, which is a beer pong version of it. And, you know, that's also something where we're trying to innovate is this digital experience on top of the physical one.
Yeah.
Right. Not only is it maybe a little bit stickier, but it inherently has some, you know, social media, you know, exposure because, you know, we're building the mini game in a social media platform.
My right? opinion, so, it also helps out the development of the character itself. You know what I mean? It builds out the story. What kind of personality is this person? What type of monk is this? You know, does he like this? Does he like that? Yeah. I know what you mean, but go ahead, continue. Sorry.
Yeah. No. I mean, I think that's definitely where, that allowed us to kind of reach out outside of NFT Philly, you know, and predominantly a lot of apes, but, you know, we have other communities that we've helped enable it for. And you know, we want to do that more, but I think, yeah, it's definitely getting harder to say no to people.
Yeah.
And, you know, we do foresee some future in which we want to unlock a couple different things with the NFT, right? And that would be, you know, IP royalties, but then also this concept of granting you a chance to use your IP. But the one aspect in which I think we've seen a little bit of it, but, you know, what is the opportunity for other projects and communities to leverage product that we built to white label and serve their communities as potential revenue stream or just utility for the community, right? So maybe to share a little bit, Alpha, is, you know, how do we build that dynamically into a site through an NFT that would allow that transaction to happen and for us to operationalize it so it's not a two-month waiting period for you to get customized product with your IP on it. How can we speed that up, right? So for a birthday, for a holiday, right? Imagine a box with your ape on it that has curated, a gift box curated with different products, right? And that's not you building it, right? That's you're enabled that. And look, that might be a subdomain website that you go to that you can direct people to. And better yet, you're getting a cut of the revenue too, right?
Oh yeah, dude. People are all over that. That's for
yeah.
sure.
Yeah. I think again, like circling back to when we started this is people love to see their ape. People want like your family and friends, would you want to gift them something with your ape on it?
Easy.
Could that be a thing, right?
Easy.
Personalization, I think, is in, you know, e-commerce in itself. But how can we take it to the next level and leveraging technology a little bit? And you know, I think you don't see that yet. And you know, I think how can we do it maybe in an agile way, in a small way?
Yeah.
So hence, like, you know, this, I think we've done a lot, but I think we can do a lot more, right? I think a physical, I think another piece of Alpha is like a physical Bored Bagels and cookie store.
Oh, shit.
You know, so we jumped into Bored Snacks with the concept of snacks, but we pivoted hard to deliver a product that we could get feedback from the community with, from Fuck It Friday, Fuck It Saturday, Fuck It Weekend. And we got that feedback. We iterated the product and we're going to launch that product not only online, but also in our bagel shops, right?
Oh,
so, you know, you look at a company like Crumbles, right? Yeah. Crumbles Cookies. It's a $1 billion company,
That's just crazy to me, dude.
It's crazy. It's crazy.
Cookies.
It's cookies.
Yeah.
But you look at the statistics, right? Average store, average Crumbles cookie store does $1.687 million.
Jesus.
Right? It's crazy. So how do we tap into that? How do we tap into that while we also, from the store side, in real life to drive revenue, and that's going to be branded Boar Snack cookies. From the online side, how do we tap into that to ship it throughout the country, but then also allow another layer of personalization where could people with our NFT, and that's the thing, right? We don't want to just launch an NFT. Like that's the last thing I want to do. But I want to be able to unlock this and show kind of a model that actually can sustain itself.
Yeah. Right? And so that's alpha right there, man. If no one picked that out, that's definitely some damn alpha. I'm excited to what you're about to do, man.
Yeah.
And so, you know, without getting, I don't know how much you can, you know, speak about it, but basically I want to ask, man, so is that like, not some sort of like a sign up kind of thing, but more of like a kind of like a not, I don't even know how to explain it, man. Not like a club membership, but a way to really like, you are the home of utilizing NFT IP is probably the longest form way I can put it.
Yeah.
Am I a little bit right, or how do you think about that?
Yeah. I mean, look, I am definitely not trying to monopolize the space. I want to build with people. But I feel like I'm in a unique position.
I think so.
And look, I welcome competition, right? Like bring it.
Not a lot
like,
out there right now, my man.
You know, like, you know, I compete with myself.
Yeah. That's the best part, man.
But like, you know, at the end of the day, you know, I feel like we can lean forward in the space, and in a bear market, like what are you going to do? You're going to look at the floor price all day? Like that's depressing.
That's so depressing.
Man. Like let's figure out how we actually make IP a thing. And there's people out there, right? Not to say like, I think obviously, you know, Made by Apes was a large, small step by Yuga. Right. Yeah. Sassy Labs and what they're leading with that, and Joshua or Richie Rich, you know, all the things he's building.
Still getting used to calling them.
Yeah.
Joshua.
No, definitely.
I know what you mean though.
There definitely are the examples out there. Right. And you know, that's something else that I started out of Miami is, I started a sub community, right? Board In is a sub community that I helped start because, look, and I'm taking away time from my brands and products to help start that because for me, as a community, we can take the next big step. And the next big step is how do we build together? How do we have a network effect? What I'm good at, supply chain, logistics, my experience versus when I went to Miami, I looked across and had these conversations with other people. There's so many talented and people out there with different skill sets. Let's leverage it. You know, in Miami, 3 days prior, I found a restaurant that was owned by Ape and I said, hey, you know, I never talked to him before ever, right? I reached out through Instagram chat and I said, hey, what about collab? Could I do breakfast, board bagel breakfast sandwiches through your restaurant? Because I'm in Philly. I'm not in Miami. So we unlocked Uber Eats through his restaurant. I shipped them down bagels and people could try what I believe is the actual product, right? Because bagels and cream cheese, I can ship across the country. I can't ship a breakfast sandwich.
Yeah.
Right. I just, you know, like you're not going to, I wouldn't want to eat that. Right. Yeah, so you're not going to want that, but like people got to try that. And like, I loved it because I could see and get that feedback in real life.
Yeah.
But I also supported a Ape owned business.
Yeah.
Right. So Board In is that, right? can I token gate a directory where apes opt in to skills, to businesses, to things in which we can support each other?
Yeah.
Right.
Dude, so, that's fucking huge. Yeah. Keep going. Sorry.
No, I mean, it's something that I think worthy of allocating time and resources to. I never want to make a dime off of it. I never wanted to have an NFT, right? But I think this is where, if I'm building with IP, I want to help facilitate us to build bigger and better together, right? Because my IP is associated with other people's products that they're putting in, right?
Keep going.
Yeah, so I can't build in isolation, right? We got to build the rails. We got to build the infrastructure, right? There's so much that can come from the network effect of just what I've already seen and experienced from the support and network and expertise and, you know, all these things, which, like, I think we can fuel that faster if we unlock it. The bodega is great, right? The bodega is great, but it's at a product and brand level. How do you find the people with the skill sets and the founders to then have the right directory for that? Right? Because if I'm an 18-year-old kid that joined the community, and maybe I don't have those skill sets, but 5 years from now, being in the community with the support, with the directory, and maybe mentors coming from that directory, man, I can't wait to see what that kid does.
Dude, that's fucking huge, dude, because I'm not gonna lie, man. I feel like I'm one of those kids, dude. You know what I mean? I'm 26 years old right now, and honestly, man, I've learned so much about business, the way we interact, brand deals and stuff like that, all through Web3, man. And you're 100% right, man. I've gone to a point where I don't think I can elevate myself anymore. I need help from other people to really elevate not only my brand, but my skills as a business person, someone that wants to brand themselves outside of the space. And, you know, people like me have no idea where to even start. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
So it's really great to hear that you're taking on this role to really help out the ape community and teaching us how to really navigate through this business world. Because, you know, I've already experienced where, you know, some people, and it's very obvious that some people are going to try to take advantage of, you know, those people, me and other people that don't know how to do the correct way of business or brand deals. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And go ahead.
No, I mean, that's exactly it. And, you know, everybody has something to offer in that, right? I had a ton of those types of conversations when I was in Miami. But how do we extend that out of just in real life, right? How do we take that back and create the rails and the infrastructure for that? And, like, is there a lawyer out there, right? Or, if, you know, even in the simple example of the restaurant, right? If I'm traveling somewhere, why wouldn't I want to support in real life business that an ape owns?
Oh, 1,000%. Right?
Let's do that. Let's do that as a community. Let's come together. Let's support that, right? But, you know, Made by Apes is great, but how do we help those people that are interested in building? And, you know, at the core of Web3 and NFTs and my experience is, look, you can reach out to almost anyone, at least that's what I've experienced, in DMs, and they're open to doing that. But can we facilitate that at another level with a directory? I think so. I mean, I really do. And look, you don't have to opt in. You can share what you want to share, right? And some people will not share anything. But I think those that choose to participate can really help each other build something.
1,000%, man. And it just gets me pumped, man. Really motivated to not only put myself out there, dude, but to really help out other Bored Ape community members that are running and doing things out there. You know, for example, all the things that you have, you know, Bored Bagels, Tipsy, I forgot the other one, Spices, right? And there's other things out there like Bored and Hungry. You know, there's that weed shop. Oh, so fucking dope, man. And
yeah.
I just want to go to every single one of those, man. So, hey, real quick, man, I want to say, you know, off topic, but, you know, something still to do with you. So I also see that you run something called Glue Society. Is that how you pronounce it? Glue Society?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. But this isn't like a product, but more of a loyalty program, correct?
Yeah, yeah.
What is Glue Society and what is that all about? What is it for and what type of people should join?
Yeah, I mean, you know, at first during the bull market, we were like, hey, let's do an NFT project because that's the thing to do and everyone's being successful. Right? So we're like, let's do this. And as we, as the market turned and as we thought about it more, we're like, you know, we don't want to put out an NFT, right? We want to create a loyalty program for Glue Hospitality, our hospitality group, because, you know, I really do think we have one of the most diverse hospitality groups, at least in Philadelphia, right? We have a nightclub, a cocktail lounge, 4 bagel shops that's scaling to 8 in the next month. Italian, Mexican, 2 Japanese restaurants. We're opening up a ramen shop.
Oh shit, dude!
A American like bar venue, and you know, there's a couple other things, right? So, you know, we were fortunate coming out of COVID and turning the corner, pivoting to dining, and you know, how do we connect the different brands, right? How does the ecosystem work in terms of you discover one venue? And, you know, I like to think about it as the customer life cycle, right? So we're fortunate to also now be partnered up with one of the larger real estate developers of off-campus housing. And we're actually going to expand to Penn State, right? Oh, so damn. When I think about that, it's, hey, we're now able to tap into 4 of these major universities, right? Some in Philadelphia and now Penn State. We can introduce and start to collect a customer base at the very beginning of the consumer's life cycle. They might be spending their parents' money, right? but it's still where they're starting to make the buying decisions, yeah. Right? So they're going to come to my venues. They're going to, you know, experience Glue Hospitality. Can we wrap it with a loyalty program that's Glue Society? And also, this is where the ecosystem expands. Even though Board IP LLC is its own corporation around consumer products, right? Can we introduce those consumer products through the hospitality group as well to give exposure and to start to create some stickiness there, right? Just like our hospitality group, there's also the expansion of different tiers of products, right? Mm. We have, you know, the nightlife venue that appeals to the 21-year-old, right? Mm. In Philadelphia, you know, that's probably our nightclub Vesper, right? But as you elevate through there, or you want to go on a date and take someone somewhere nicer, you can go to our cocktail lounge, which is Leda's, right? Same thing with dining, right? We have these different kind of propositions that as you evolve your spending pattern, you can kind of grow with our hospitality group. And that's kind of how we're thinking about it, right? And the advantage we have also with moving and distribution of product, right? Board and Tipsy, our canned cocktail. We serve in 5 of our restaurants, oh, right? Nice. And, you know, we're already in talks in terms of distribution through a distributor, and they would help us sell it through, wow, you know, retail, right?
That's awesome, yeah.
So you go to my nightclub, we run a special, and we just did this. College ID, you can now get a Board and Tipsy. You know, and now, you know, you have exposure to my brand. You're now going to, you know, the Bear the Shreer, and you're seeing it, and you had it, and you're like, oh, let me get a 4-pack of that.
So, right? So what you're doing really is, instead of us going to the people, you're bringing the people to us. Am I correct?
It's a little bit of a bridge, right?
Okay.
It's a bridge, okay. Right? And it's a bridge through product, through food, through things that people can understand, right?
And connect
the innovation. The innovation is through the branding, right? It's whether it's you see an ape on the product or, oh, you see a QR code. You might scan that QR code and takes you to a mini game, right? So different product, and we're experimenting with this right now, is like, what product do we lead forward with the actual ape on the can? Or what do we have it more kind of subtle where there's no ape on the can, but guess what? You scan that QR code, you go to the mini game, and there's an ape in the mini game, right? Mm-hmm. And you know, I don't know that we have that or anyone has that figured out, but I think we're afforded the ability to start testing that because we have so many different products that, you know, we can do that with without, you know, our core product, bagels, you know, things we've already established as like, here's the staple. And that's what we can build our business on as we then test some of these other smaller things.
Yeah. Yeah, man. And I think that that's a lot of R&D, like you said before. And it's just really, it's really fascinating, really fascinating and really good to see an example like yourself really actually doing it, really accomplishing getting these products into people's hands, you know what I mean? And not just like, you know, forcing them into looking at your NFT or something like that. For example, like the clothes. I don't know if you saw, but there's a, you know, there's some Bored Apes out there that make clothes, you know what I mean? And it just has their Bored Ape on it, you know? And I never was a believer in that, just because one, the one specific ape has to be branded to where it's a character, not associated with some human being. And I think that like, nobody, I mean, I mean, maybe, but like, I feel like most people, even apes, are not going to want to wear something that has another Bored Apes ape on it. You know what I mean? Like you said, we want to see our apes on there. So what I saw someone do recently, I forgot who it was, but it was this ape. He made clothes, but instead of his ape on the front of it, or anywhere, it wasn't anywhere at all. What made it look like his Bored Ape was the style of clothes it is, the colors that he chose. When I look at that, when I looked at that t-shirt, I knew it was a Bored Ape t-shirt, but there's no Bored Ape anywhere on it. I just noticed it because of the colors that he chose and the same type of kind of like feng shui that they did. I thought that was fucking genius, man. And I think that's what a little bit that what you're doing, you know what I mean? Clothes is obviously 1,000% different from food, you know, because when you get like a food item, for example, Mr. Peanut, there's a character there, you know what I mean? You want to associate it with a character. But with clothes, you know, there's not a lot of characters that really pop off, you know. It's just like a little thought that popped into my head, man, that it just really, like, you know, if we could find out a way to not make it about the ape, but not about the ape at the same time, you know what I mean? Kind of like a subliminal message.
I think we've got to figure that out by product and category type, right? Continue to experiment. And that's what's so great about the Made by Apes, is because I think it's just like fueled this gold rush of people wanting to build stuff. And then that's why I'm also saying, hey, let's do board in. So these builders can learn from each other, and, you know, not all of us have to test the same thing.
Yeah.
Right. Let's figure that out.
Yeah.
But you know, I totally align with you on the characters and NFT branding and IP giving a depth to products, right? And one core example I would say is, you know, Bored Snack Cookies, right? Everyone probably knows the Cookie Monster, right? This is a blue mascot, you know, icon around cookies. It was created in 1966.
Jesus Christ, dude.
Could there be a new Cookie Monster? Could it be a blue ape that becomes the new Cookie Monster of our time, of our generation?
There's definitely one that needs to be needed. You know what I mean? Like, it hasn't been one. There's only been Cookie Monster. I can't think of another one really. And it's crazy too, man, because like Cookie Monster isn't associated with any specific brand. That motherfucker's brand is just cookies all over. You know,
he just loves cookies. It doesn't matter. You know, so I have envisioned this, you know, Blue Ape just, you know, just grabbing cookies. So I don't know. I mean, I'm still playing with the idea, but at the end of the day, hey, could that be the next mini game that leads to an IP spot for us?
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, and going back to like the Made by Apes thing, man, I got to say, man, it just made me personally, it made me feel more a part of the club. You know what I mean? It made me feel like I was contributing into these things that we, you know, most of us don't know what's going on, but, you know, we're building. You know, there's builders out there. It was so cool to see not only like your product, my podcast on there, other apes, you know, entertainment groups, food, beverages, whatever it is, man. It's just super cool to see, man. And
amazing.
And dude, it's so cool, man. I just never really like imagined myself feeling something like that. But it was cool, man. I also want to mention, man, that it was dope as fuck meeting you in real life, man, in Miami.
Yeah.
I was I had some of your board snacks. I fucking love the spicy one. I forgot what that one's called.
I have to say that's actually not mine. It's Forever's. Munchies. You know, another awesome product in building the space. And I just talked to him yesterday. That guy inspires me. There's so many different products. I mean, even yourself, I vividly remember coming into the space and seeing, you know, you on Twitter or X now. And being like, man, like, you know, this guy's a legend, love what he's doing. This is surreal to me, right? Yeah, being able to be on a podcast with you, and same thing, like meeting you in person was an honor, you know?
Yeah, dude, it was so dope meeting you, man. It's really cool meeting people in real life. You know, you get to put the face on them. You really get to connect with somebody. You know, because over the internet, over words, there's only so much you can do to connect with somebody. You know what I mean? Yeah. And I actually got like a few good podcast connections just being there in real life. You know what I mean? Some people that are not easily accessible to, you know, talk to or DM or whatever it is, the fact. But dude, I just got to say, I appreciate you for the kind words, man. It means a lot to me. It's still surreal for me to even be kind of in the position that I am. I don't know if you know, but I've never done social media before in my life, but this is like my first time ever putting myself out there. And I got to say that, like, I think that the one edge that I had was that I had no idea what the fuck I was doing. And so what that meant was that I just went 1,000% myself. I didn't know what else to do. You know what I mean? So
I mean, you're great at it. I love it. And like the production and just how natural it is. Like, I feel like I'm having a conversation with you, right?
Yeah, dude, me too, man. It's very awesome. Important to do that kind of stuff, man, because you don't want to, like, when I picture social media, I just picture all of us in this one big ass warehouse. You know what I mean? We're all in this big ass warehouse and we're all just interacting with each other. And the way I put it, the way I see it is, if somebody comes up to you and says, hey, how you doing? You know, I love your thing or whatever. You're not going to just not say anything, or you're not going to acknowledge it. You know what I mean? Like, and if you do, that's completely rude. You know what I mean? If someone came up to you and was like, dude, I love what you're doing. I love everything that you say. And you just stare at them without saying a word. That's fucked up, dude. You know what I mean? So it's a very big thing for us to act as if the person was still right in front of us, because it's to help me out a lot, man. What do you think about that?
No, I mean, I resonate with that a lot. And, you know, I think that's where you lean forward with things you do well. And, you know, it's the Made by Ape, I think same thing, right? The feeling of getting a little bit of like the nod, right? Yeah. Then not, it's like, okay, you do see me. I'm working hard, right? I know there's still a lot of stuff I have to improve on and do and build more, but like, hey, you do see me, right?
It's the best, man.
Yeah, it's huge. It's huge. And, you know, same thing with just being able to come on this space. And, you know, I think I go back to like, I will never be able to do what you do and do it well, right? And, you know, even a fraction of how well you do it, right? But I'm lucky that I have guys like you in this space that do these things well. So look, I'm going to let you do this while I do the IP thing, right?
Oh man, I appreciate that, man. It really means the world to me, man. Cause like I said, man, I've never done anything like this. And dude, I fucking love it. I love every second of it, you know, and I was obsessed, man. When I got into this space, man, I was fucking obsessed, man. I didn't know what to do, but dude, I knew this place was the place that I wanted to be forever in, man.
Yeah.
But hey, man, real quick, let's jump back on the U train, man. Enough about me. So, you know, we all know that branding is probably one of the most important key factors one must have to have a successful product, business, whatever it is. So how are you building the brand for these products inside the Web3 space and outside of it?
Yeah. I mean, I think it goes back to a little bit of testing the proposition, you know, whether you lean forward with the branding and the IP, and, you know, that might be product specific and it might not be. And you know, I think it's just like you probably, right? It's like as you enter testing a bunch of things and iterating off of it, and refining it, right? So, you know, for us shipping cream cheese, right? It's into the summer. You know, we had to iterate off of that and get insulation, get ice packs, right? And you know, it's the product, and we still have opportunities there, right? Like in some ways, it's good that's cooling down, but like, you know, next year is going to roll around again. But how do we create a consumer package that, you know, just is professional, right for the product, and innovated at the right level with the branding, right? Whether that's the digital experience, whether that's the you know, packaging and kind of the ape on it. But I would say, like, we're also very mindful that we want to layer in this capability of white labeling, right? So, you know, it's a balance between commercialization, scaling to really look at kind of like the cost profile while still being competitive, because we're building product for a business that's really only going to sustain if we sell outside of just Web3.
Yeah.
Right. And I think that's going to become truer and truer, because to your point, you know, you're just not going to go out there and buy everything with an ape on it, right? Especially now, because like, I would love to be able to support everything, but at the same time, like Made by Apes has now propagated that in a big way.
Yeah.
Right. And that's going to just continue to expand out. So how do you figure out the branding? But I do think people have to really think about their product, not just for Web3. If it's entirely native to Web3, sure. Right. And so it might not be a physical product, and that's where absolutely, right? It might be native to Web3, but food, clothing, like these things aren't.
Yeah.
Someone making a buying decision, you know, might be more inclined because it's an ape on there, but it's still got to be quality. It's still got to be competitive at some level. If I'm spending $100 for that, maybe I'd spend a little bit more for a product, but I'm not going to spend, you know, 3x what that is because there's an ape on it.
Yeah. 1,000%. Yeah, no, 1,000%, man. And I feel that, man. And I think that, I think the way you're really approaching this is very, very smart, and not only smart, man, but very cohesive, very good thinking about it, you know what I mean? Because it's not like going out there with very unexpected expectations of, you know, this, because that's what I see out there in the space, is that, you know, they launch a product and they think that it's going to go mainstream almost within the year. And I've never seen any product even make it out, you know, most of them fail within the fucking year, you know what I mean? And it's, it's just crazy to see that, like, you know, I think that's what you're going to help us with too, man, is to set up the expectations of how much work this actually is and how long this actually does take to build a very reputable brand outside of the NFT space. Cause let's face it, man, most of us have very unexpected very high expectations of what our Bored Ape product is, what we want it to be, for example, like that. But what were you about to say?
No, I mean, look, I hope everyone gets lucky, right?
Yeah.
And knocks it out of the park and gets picked up and becomes mainstream. But I think, you know, just having done this for other companies and spending so much of my career doing it, I think it just, I'm trying to be practical with it. If it happens, great, right? But I'm not relying on that happening. And even if that happens, like, you suddenly get, you know, 10x the orders, do you even have the infrastructure and scalability to fulfill that demand? I don't know, right? I don't know that you do.
You're right, man. And that's when, like, you know, people need help with logistics, how to run you know, certain areas of the product and things like that, man. But
and then reach out to me, right?
Hey,
then,
there you go.
That's where, like, hey,
that's
go
the
to Bored Ape directory.
Yep.
Look me up, and look, I'll get on the phone with you, and let's figure that out.
Nah, that's amazing, man. I think you're a very valuable asset to this community. We're fucking very lucky that, you know, you're in our community, and, you know, you could do it for others too. But, you know, for us as Bored Apes and Mutant Apes, it's amazing thing for all of us. But, you know, I want to ask, man. Most of these projects in the NFT space have IP rights, right? So.
Yeah.
And it's not just for Bored Apes, you know, it's CryptoPunks, you know, other ass, I think Pudgies, you know, other NFTs that utilize the IP rights. So for anyone listening that wants to utilize their IP to build a product, service, or what have you, can you give some good advice on how they should have first approached something like this?
Yeah, I mean, I think you should always look at stuff that resonates with you. Right. Because, you know, you're not going to want to dedicate the time and energy to build something that you just it doesn't resonate with you.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So what do you do in real life? What are the things you like? What are the foods and things of that nature? Your taste profile? You know, these are all things that feed into it. And, you know, then. The internet is your friend. Right. Do a little bit of research. Right. Google it. You know, trademark search, right? Like, you know, I think people that's underrated in this space, right? Is like, you know, so don't just come up with a name and not do a little due diligence, right? But I think going back to, you know, there's some great examples of products even outside of Base, right? You know, reach out. Ask the questions, and, you know, go meet people in real life and have discussions. And, you know, I'm helping with a event in Brooklyn on the 24th around ApeCoin and Bored IP, and having some workshops and showcasing some product. You know, look, go participate, right? You might not know, but, like, don't have, I use the term, don't have analysis paralysis, right? Put yourself out there, start doing, just like probably what you did, right? Like, you know, you were on social media and you put yourself out there. You did one thing that probably led to another thing, right? So, you know, don't overthink it, but, you know, you still need to do your due diligence and be smart about it too. But yeah. But that's where you reach out to people.
Yep. No, 1,000%. And I want to say too, man, that like, you know, people in this community are so much more willing to help you than any other community that I've ever been a part of, man. I mean, like there's things, you know, I was very reluctant to ask anybody to be on my podcast, you know what I mean? Let alone, you know, asking people to do this or that and things like that. Dude, people are just so excited to help one another here. It's a beautiful thing, man. And they just want to help elevate each other, man. It's a very abnormal thing for me to see because most humans are not really like that, man. You know what I mean? So it's I think the bear market is a beautiful fucking thing, man, because it really helps separates us from, you know, basically, you know, us from the tourists, you know, the people that are just here to see things, get some bucks and fuck off, you know what I mean? But it's a beautiful thing. So I just got to say for anybody listening, dude, just reach out, ask questions, say what's up, because people here, if they don't seem like it, they're pretty fucking nice people, man. But hey man, I love what you accomplished in this space in such a short amount of time, but I gotta ask, what's the future look like for NFT Hoarder and everything that you're doing? What should we be looking forward to?
Yeah, you know, I mean, I think exactly what you said is, you know, I want to continue to build my brands and products and unlock that for, you know, again, people that might neighborhood mom and pop shops, and then partner that with NFT branding and enable people to use it, but create a real business that isn't just selling to Web3. But can also reward the people in Web3 for it, right?
I love that. But
like, let's do that together, right? And I really think Bored Apes, the community, is kind of leading the way as a mature community in a bear market. Like those people that are still here are the ones that are committed in what this looks like and wanting to build off of it. Yeah. Made by Apes is a great catalyst, but as a community, let's come together and let's further lead the way and build the rails and infrastructure. And, you know, that's what I'm here for, right? Yeah. I find value, self-value in being able to help people do that and not make the mistakes I made. And it's not to say, look, I'm going to learn just as much as I help people as I do from that journey myself. And I don't know everything, but what I do know, I want to share and contribute to the community.
Yeah, man. And I just want to, you know, always give you your kudos for that. And I just want to say, please keep going, bro. Cause definitely need people like you in our community to really push us and show us not only the right directions, dude, but like really, really just show us how to approach this correctly, because you could really fuck things up if you don't do it right, you know what I mean? Especially in the IP licensing kind of deals and stuff, man. You know, one bad thing could lead to another. But yeah, man, you know, last question, my guy, and you know, I'll let you go. I bet you're really busy, man, but I want to talk about the Web3 space as a whole. What's your honest opinion on the current state of NFTs in Web3, the community, projects, really overall, your overall perspective on everything that's going on today? Give me some positive and some negatives.
Yeah, I mean, why don't I start off with negatives so we can end on a positive note?
I feel that.
Yeah, we're down bad. For those that are, for whatever, and I don't know, right? If you're still here because you're into the four price, I don't know what you're doing. Right?
Dude, I don't think those motherfuckers are here, dude.
I hope you're here and you're making money. I mean, I'm not. I'm not making money from flipping. I'm not making money from meme coins. But the people that are here, like, I've never felt anything like it, right? Yeah. The support. And look, when I think back, like, maybe this support from this community is what I needed to have, I don't know, the confidence or the push to come out and build for myself and my products and my brands, as opposed to doing it for all these other companies, right? But I've never felt anything like it. And it fuels me to want to further build and help and lean forward with it, right? And you know, that's what we need to lean forward with, right? And not everyone sees it yet, right? And that's fine. That's fine. But how do we build those rails? How do we continue to stack the micro L's into these bigger wins, right? And it's very easy to focus on, you know, the bad things in the space, right? But let's architect, let's author the good things. And that's going to take all of us, right? It's going to take a town. It's going to take the community. And, you know, sometimes I look at it and, you know, it's very fractioned from, you know, well, I'm part of D-Gods. Well, I'm part of, you know, Basie. I'm part of Doodles. You know, but it's a very small space, right? I think like, you know, I get it, right? Is that's your how you identify, but at the same time, like sometimes we need to put that aside and how do we move the whole space forward together as a community, right? Because we're all in this space.
Yeah.
And sometimes I think people get wrapped up too much there, but look, the
1,000%, man, real quick, yeah. Man, I just want to say that I couldn't agree with you there more, dude. Like it fucking kills me to see any of us fighting amongst each other, like really genuinely hating each other and fighting amongst each other. Like, bro, I may have a different NFT PFP, but our beliefs are the same. Our goals are the same. We believe in the same fucking infrastructure, the technology. You know what I mean? That's what we believe in, dude. You're 1,000% right, dude. People get so wrapped up into the PFPs, man. And to be honest, bro, I bet you anything, people out there aren't friends with me or don't like me just because of my PFP. You know what I mean? It fucking sucks, bro. It shouldn't be like that, dude. Like,
it sucks.
It should not be like that. I mean, no. I get it. You know what I mean? There's always going to be some bad apples within every single community. You know what I mean? To make us look bad. You know, for example, you know, don't talk to me if you don't have 100K NFTP.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like that elitism.
Who does now?
Nobody. Yeah. Right. All that elitism bullshit, man. It's the same thing that it's very pattern recognition. You know what I mean? Like, the same thing that happened with Bored Apes with the elitism happened to Azuki. The same thing that elitism happened with Azuki transferred over to D-Gods. Every single one of those motherfuckers, we were all humble. We're all humble throughout this bear market. Now, none of us really say anything to each other. Why? Because all of us are fucking down bad. You know what I mean?
Yeah. If you so say, let's hey, unite.
Yeah, exactly. Like, hey.
Let's unite on that. Like,
yeah, exactly. Dude. And I see it. I see us more maturing in this space. You know, we're starting to ask the right questions, you know what I mean? And we're starting to really, really criticize, and it's a good thing, criticize the things that are coming out, criticize the execution that's been done thus far, you know what I mean? Because let's face it, you know, these founders have promised us fucking Valhalla, and all we got was, you know, a meetup or a hoodie or whatever, you know what I mean? But yeah, man. What do you think about that, man? What were you about to say?
No, I mean, I totally agree with you, and you know, I think we just people sometimes just need to take a step back. We can win together, and you know, I think you mentioned Gary Vee and kind of your journey, and you know, something that sticks in my mind that I've heard from him is, you know, a lot of us who are still here believe in the technology. Technology is undefeated. Right, it's undefeated. So we who believe in the technology that are still here building in the communities, regardless of your PFP, if you know, that's what unites us, and the fact that we're down bad, right?
Yeah.
so look, it's, you know, we can point to founders and these guys that run community or run projects and say, hey, you guys owe us this and that. Yeah, I'm not saying they don't. But like just like Bored In, right? It's like I'm not pointing at Yuga and saying, hey, Yuga, you guys should create a directory, right? Look, great if they do it. But if they don't do it, then you know, it doesn't have to be me, right? It can be someone else, right? As long as we do it, right? And we build off of it and we step up to the plate. Right.
No, it's very true, man. And I think that we're getting there, you know, slowly. You know, I see, like I said, I see some of us out there very maturing, even within the communities, you know what I mean? And I'm just excited for all of us, man. But hey, well, my guy, that's all I had for you today. I just wanted to say thank you for hopping on the show and letting me and everybody here know all about you and what you're doing. It means the world to me. Before we wrap everything up, please tell these amazing people listening where they can find more information about you, what you're doing, and everything that's included with the Bored Ape IP and your products.
Yeah, no, appreciate that. You know, bagels, boredbagels.com. We ship domestically. Bored IP, I think you'll see some news come out soon, but, you know, we're aggregating everything there with all our brands and token gating discounts and looking at the next phase of e-commerce there. But, you know, NFT, X, or Twitter, right? Reach out. If you guys, if someone out here has a question or something I can help with, my journey might not be your journey, but I'm here to share, to talk, to help figure something out. I might not have the answer, but hey, reach out.
We'll figure it out together, right?
Yeah, we'll try to at least, right?
Yeah. All right, my man, again, thank you and looking forward to your future, my guy. Have a great rest of your day.
You too.
All righty.